The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well now, although we're supposed to have an hour extra in the morning, I'm still going to work in the dark, and it's dark in the evening. So whether you're a pedestrian, an e-scooter driver, an ordinary cyclist, an electric cyclist, a motorist, a truck driver, whatever, it is a more dangerous time of the year. Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, is with me. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
It is murky, and when it rains, it's even murkier still.
Yeah, and it's dark. It seems to arrive very suddenly when the clocks go back. Dark evenings, and it's drawing in the morning as well. Now, what that means on the roads, we get more traffic jams this time of year. Half term's a bit of a relief, but between now and Christmas, we'll be talking about traffic jams. And also, it is a dangerous time of the year. So for cyclists, absolutely critical that you have got to light up. If you're a motorist coming in a morning like this, you cannot see an unlit cyclist. Physically impossible to see him. If there's water, if it's raining, if there's water on the car glass, you'll be able to see out through where your windscreen is wiped, but you won't see the cyclist coming from the side if he's not illuminated. So a really dark and dangerous time, and
those high-vis smocks or whatever they call them that people put over them, they're terrific.
They do, they work really, really well.
You know, even a small glimmer from your headlight will pick them up at some distance.
Yeah, and I'm a regular cyclist myself, but it's remarkable how complacent cyclists tend to be about that. It's almost your definition of the most trivial offence. You know, I had no lights on my bike. It's actually, that's not trivial. It really is a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah. Now, e-scooters, I had an experience yesterday morning myself of going along Georgia Street in Dunleary on my way in before 7 o'clock. And at the last moment, I spotted this fella. He had a tiny glimmer of an LED on the mudguard of an e-scooter. He was entirely clad in black.
Oh, wow.
There was some sort of white light about his place, you know, but so tiny that it was very difficult to see him. And then suddenly he was lit by a street lamp momentarily. And that's when I saw him. But I was just thinking, he had no lights on the front at all. I looked in my mirror, nothing in the front, and he was black from head to toe.
And you will get people who'll tell you that, he's fine. He should just be able to step on and off his machine, and he shouldn't have to worry about cars. We should have a calm and civilised space, and traffic speeds should be low. And maybe those things might be true, but you've got to take basic steps to preserve your own safety as well. And that includes lighting up. I mean, it's a real rudeness to other road users because you're frightening the life out of motorists.
And it's not victim blaming, because all motorists are charged by law to have front and rear lights number plate illumination. All of that is designated by law.
Yeah, you've got to be basically responsible as a road user, any sort of a road user, whether you're a pedestrian, an irresponsible pedestrian looking at their mobile phone screen and stepping out into traffic. They're a hazard to themselves and others as well. And at this time of year particularly, I mean, the school kids are going in the darkness and very difficult for motorists to see. And it just is dangerous. Particularly in our cities.
Now, one of the things that you've experienced as a cyclist, and I certainly have, and I've experienced it on my motorbike as well, is that at this time of year, when you've got a lot of rainfall, the potholes are filled with water.
Yeah.
So therefore, you might hit one. Four wheel, you can kind of cope with it a bit. If you're on a bicycle or a motor scooter, a motorbike, or ordinary bike, you can be thrown.
Yeah, you can, and you can't risk it because you'll just see a black puddle. So again, for motorists, usually you have to bear in mind that motorist always has the greater duty of care because it's the motorist who can actually cause catastrophic injury. But you have to realise, sitting in your car, that the cyclist in front of you may need to move 2 metres to the right to avoid a puddle, and that might be to your frustration, but you have to expect that that's likely to happen. And what's the cyclist meant to do? I mean, he can't risk hitting a pothole.
The e-scooters, again, tend to be big offenders, from my observation of them anyway, in that the protocols that cyclists have learned over the last while, as more and more people have embraced the bicycle, they wear the high-vis aprons, the commuting cyclists. They know they want to be safe, and maybe they've had a few scares. The e-scooters are relatively new, and those kind of protocols haven't grown up among that community to any great extent yet.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be the same people as cyclists, but we are seeing different patterns of behaviour, particularly on the e-scooters. Now, many of them are just commuting along with everybody else, but I dare say, ask anybody listening to us and they will have seen e-scooters misbehaving in the towns and cities, mounting footpaths, etc. And look, it is a frustration. Those machines have a little bit of power in them. They have the potential to hurt a pedestrian. They have the potential to hurt yourself.
They can certainly go higher than speed limits in some parts of Dublin, which are 30k. They can go faster than 30k. I'm not sure there's anyone checking on them. But also, if they hit one of those hidden potholes with a tiny wheel, I mean, they're bunched.
Yeah, and you can see that in other cities. We don't have that many of them in Dublin yet. But in Paris, for example, they sort of embraced the e-scooter. It's kind of love-hate. They still can't quite decide whether they love it or hate it. But they have loads of them. I mean, there's over 15,000 of them in general circulation on the streets in Paris. And they're all cleverly geofenced. So you open them up with an app and you can step onto them and away you go. And it's a terrific piece of transport infrastructure. But they are littering the footpaths. Yeah. They're turning up in the rivers.
Yeah, in the Seine. And they had the commercial providers were employing divers to fish them out.
To fetch them out. And they put little sort of clever geolocation trackers on them. So when the system works perfectly, it's great. And you see people use them. You just tap it with your phone, jump on it, and away you go. And it's geo-locked. It knows where it is. So you have to dispose, you know, have to put it back responsibly. And yet, people zooming around on them.
In Sligo recently, when we did a programme from there, I came across their e-bike scheme, which is rolled out as a pilot, and I think they're going to add more and more bikes to it. But the way you pick up the bike at any location where they are parked, and they have their own stand, they're quite a heavy bike. And then when you want to return them, you return them to part of the pavement or the road that's painted and just says, this is your geolocation. You leave it standing up. And once you park it there, your credit card is off the hook.
Yeah.
If you don't park it there, your credit card remains on the hook until it is left back in a designated place.
And it works very easily. And, you know, the older tech that is the Dublin bikes with the mechanical click in and thing that you have to put them back into their own stand. When they were brought in initially, Dublin was one of the early cities to do it, way ahead of Boris bikes in London. We were one of the early cities to do it. And the initial fear was that the bikes would be robbed, abused, they'd be thrown in the Liffey. Never happened. You know, you could count on the fingers of one hand the many of those amount of those bikes that have been abused or lost. People just use the system
properly. I mean, they're not exactly desirable machines for the Sunday cyclist.
Yeah, exactly. And no more than the supermarket trolley. You put it back and get your euro back. And people use the system properly. And I think people will use an e-bike system like that, Paris style even. I think people will use it properly. And it's potentially brilliant in the traffic mix.
Now, you as a cyclist have been asking for proper cycling infrastructure. And the question is, with fast-moving electric bikes and fast-moving e-scooters, what happens to the pedal cyclist, you know, who's being overtaken, whizzed past at a great rate of knots?
Well, I think the difference is more between what about the commuter who's specifically going somewhere and is in a hurry versus the leisure cyclist who's, you know, tooling around the park or taking the kids out for a run or whatever it is. On those routes where you want to go into town quickly, you're going to a meeting, you're going to work, you're not there to feed the ducks. You don't want your cycle lane to wiggle in and out of the park, you know, past the mums with the push chairs. You want to commute into town. And I think on those routes, that's where your fast-moving cyclist and your e-bike, you know, coexist perfectly, because that is a commuting.
Now, clearly, we need rules, regulations. Everyone who is an other form of motorised transport user has rules. The electric bikes don't, the e-scooters don't.
Well, they do. The same that cyclists do. And they might be very poorly enforced, but the rules are there.
No, but in terms of when you're capable of going at a certain speed, you should have an obligation in terms of illumination, first of all.
Yeah.
And maybe a headlight that will actually see the pothole. They're reluctant to bring in helmets because they feel that maybe people won't use the ordinary city bikes. But then if your bike is capable of a certain speed, maybe that's when the helmet kicks in. Because the city scooters for tourists, which are great in Paris and all the rest, they are limited in speed. They're not whizzing around at 30 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, and ours will be governed to 25 kilometres per hour. But that's pretty nippy in a pedestrian-rich environment in an urban city centre. And your e-bike user can get to 25 kph very, very quickly with the power in their machine, much more so than a cyclist coming up to speed. So it's relative speed rather than absolute speed. And even at those relatively low speeds, e-scooters, if used badly, can be dangerous. So can a bicycle, so can a car. Yeah. But those are sort of maturer technologies. We kind of know what to expect from a bicycle. We know what to expect from a car. The e-scooters are you know, not quite the same discipline and not quite the same
experience. Darren has echoed what we said about the Paris mayor, who's got a lot of complaints about e-scooters. Yeah. In Paris, they're trying to remove e-scooters due to the high number of accidents with pedestrians.
Yeah, well, the Green Party actually want to ban them in Paris, ironically enough.
But they're probably thinking of the amount of lithium that goes into the batteries. In part,
and also pedestrian injuries. But then the managers of the scheme say, no, we're learning lots of lessons, we're getting much better. And they're getting much better at things like preventing abuse, making sure they're properly returned, governing speeds very specifically by area. So, you know, you might be able to go at one pace down the Champs-Élysées, but somewhere else when you're in a pedestrian. So lots and lots of clever things you can do to manage them better.
Edging out of my driveway, which has pillars on either side, has become a dangerous manoeuvre as yet another e-scooter driver flies along on the footpath and is gone in a flash, just missing my car by inches. What to do?
What to do? Well, it's not just because he's an e-scooter, because we could have the exact same complaint about a cyclist. It's just there's more of them because the e-scooters have brought more cycling type vehicles out onto the roads, which is a good thing. But behaviour, you know, people do need to behave properly.
Not just visibility rules for e-scooters, but also for cyclists and pedestrians. The roads of rural Ireland have plenty of both who are dressed completely wrong for these dark days.
Yeah, and that was always road safety advice kind of back in the day. Yeah. You know, be lit up in rural Ireland, have a torch with you, wear high vis. You will get people pushing back against that, and the pushback is, why should I have to wear protective
clothes? Victim blaming
again. And, you know, I get a little bit weary of that sometimes because a degree of common sense is required on all sides. If it's pitch black and it's lashing rain and you're walking along the side of a country road, clearly, you know, do some sort of a favour to
the car.
Because it is no want to hit
you. Consolation as you are recovering from broken limbs and a concussion in the local hospital, or perhaps not even surviving. No consolation to know that you were in the right, that you were wearing your black outfit, and it's up to the motorist, the motorbike, the ambulance, the truck, whatever, to see you.
Yeah, so maybe we should all take a little bit more personal responsibility for doing the right things ourselves rather than sort of preaching at each other.
Yeah, a final one. Why not enact a law to make it compulsory to wear high-vis bib for all road users day and night, treated with the same urgency as when masks were used during the pandemic? A government public awareness campaign should be a priority at this stage. That's why school wardens, firemen, Gardaí, builders, emergency personnel all wear high-vis, because they stand out and can be seen by motorists. It's common sense.
Yeah, well, high-vis is very useful. A compulsory high-vis for civilians in ordinary circumstances, that's a bit of a stretch, I think. You know, we can't dress all the citizens up in uniform, whether it's for their safety or not. But, you know, take that as advice rather than law.
But it's true, though. Any time you come upon an accident or builders or, you know, gas installation or whatever it is, all the lads are there in their high-vis.
Yeah, and it works great. You know, put on a high-vis and you can be seen. People seem to, you know, think you belong there as well. You know, you see somebody capable of stopping traffic just by wearing a high-vis and holding up his hand.
And another one says, some cyclists use high-powered front lights that can be very blinding to oncoming traffic. A lot of these flashing LEDs, banks, which are not focused at anything.
No, they're not. And they can be really powerful these days as well. And in fact, in some cases, you know, probably exceed permission. Power, you can put an absolute searchlight on the front of your bicycle if you want to, and some people do. But provided you have a light, to me, that you know, not having a light at all or having a sort of a wimpy one with a dodgy battery is the bigger sin.
And the last thing, where are you going with no bell on your bike? Audible warnings from all of these, be they cyclists, e-scooter
it's
users.
It's a rule. It is a rule. Your bike has to have an audible bell, and e-scooters, when we have standard European ones, and that regulation is very, very nearly complete, type approval will include things like proper lights and an audible bell, yeah.
All right, Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.